Welcome back, folks. We are back for another installment of Bluish podcast with a new background. I decided to jimmy my table over just a smidge to give you guys a better background because I just didn't like the vibe of the fireplace. It's cute, but I feel like you have things to look at here instead of just the bare minimum of the last one. So I hope you like the get up. It's giving very grandma's house. It's what all my friends say when they come over. They feel like they're stepping into the past. It's still in a very eclectic, very just, got a touch of pizzazz in it, of modernity. I think that's the word. So yes, welcome. Super excited to get into this podcast. The last one was fun, right? It was a little all over the place, but that's the beauty of this process. I'm going to learn through trial and error and being raw and being vulnerable. I'm going to try to get it together a little bit more. I took some notes. I'm going to try not to monologue, and we're going to try and speed it up a little bit. Let's get right into it. I want to tell you guys a little bit more of my familial story and kind of my background. I will start with my grandparents. Or I guess I should preface this with saying my mom is adopted. These are my adoptive grandparents. So we're not blood related, but there's lots of cool things that go along with this journey and this story that just let you know that God is truly in the details of your life. So my grandma was born in Coffeyville, Oklahoma, which I guess is now South Coffeyville, Kansas. Wait, South Coffeyville. So there's two Coffeyvilles. They're right on the border of Kansas and Oklahoma. She was born in the Oklahoma part. She was born in the winter. In the 1930s, the stories she would tell me growing up about her childhood were very just giving wild. She would tell me a story about how they had a bull snake living in their walls of their house, and she could hear it slithering at night, and it would eat the mice and the vermin and things like that. She would walk to school every day, and there would be this bull that would be on the other side of this really rickety fence, and she would be so terrified of this bull. And she had a ton of siblings. I mean, like, I want to say 7 or 8 siblings. And she was the youngest of those siblings. And then her mom sadly passed away in the 40s due to pneumonia. And so when her mom passed away, her dad remarried and had 2 more daughters. So she became this weird kind of middle child like vibe. That's my grandma. She has now passed. She lived a really beautiful life. And me and my grandma had a very strange relationship, which I will get into probably on a different podcast. But she taught me so much. She taught me so much. Although sometimes the lessons were very tough and very delivery could have been different. I'm very grateful for the grandma that God did put in my life. She's the only one I had growing up. So my grandpa and her got married in 1953, and they met at a Kappa Sweetheart dance at the University of God knows what. I don't remember. I actually really need to clarify that. I want to say it was in Kansas, but it could have been in New Mexico. I don't know. Anyway, they met and got married. He was in the Air Force. They had 2 weeks together. He had to go finish training somewhere else. So they were communicating through letters for 2 months, 2 maybe 3 months. But they only had 2 weeks together in person before this. And then they decided to get married. So they got married about 3 or 4 months after they met in Clovis, New Mexico, in a chapel there. And then, oh, let me tell you about my grandpa. See, I'm hopping. Hop back. My grandpa was born in the 1920s in the North. So he was born in Cleveland, Ohio. He was the youngest of all of his siblings. So that's really that on that. He grew up completely different from my grandma. I mean, they were pretty well off up there. And she grew up not in that same predicament. Like, I want to say the floors in her house were dirt. But as she grew older, times got better. The depression started thinning out. And she was just vibing. And my grandma was a beautiful, beautiful woman. People used to say my grandma looked like Lena Horne. Beautiful lady, beautiful lady. She was 20 when my grandpa and her got married. So anyway, grandpa was raised completely different. One of the stories I remember him telling me when he was little, there was a little boy. Well, I don't know. They were walking back home from school or something. And there was like a live wire that was down from like a power line. He said one of his friends picked it up and he had never been so terrified in his life. He survived. But like, I can't imagine all the things back then that were just not known. Did he not know not to touch a live wire? Or was he just daredeviling? The world may never know. So they got married in 1953 and then they traveled the world because he was in the Air Force. After that, they basically had an extended honeymoon for like 7 years. They lived in Germany, Greece, Italy, all these places overseas, and had a really, really beautiful experience there for the most part. Now, during that time, my grandma had been trying to get pregnant. She kept having miscarriages. Come to find out, there was something going on. She was having ectopic pregnancies. And so when they got back to the States, they started going through the process to adopt a child. They came back to Cleveland, and that's when they adopted my mom. They adopted my mom when she was about 18 months old, I think. So she had been in foster care for a little bit. And they moved to Oklahoma, I want to say in 1969. And they have been here ever since. Grandpa's still here. He is 96. Grandma has been gone about 2.5 years now. And so that's been very challenging for him because they were married for 69 years, which is a long time to be with somebody day in and day out. And then you got to start living your life without them. Pray for him. I think he would love that. His heart's been a little on the mend lately. It's getting, you know, life's just different for him. So yeah, that's my background of my grandparents, my adoptive grandparents. Now my Jewish grandparents, no clue who they were. I know their names. I know what they look like now. But growing up, had no idea. Now there is a story. There's a little bit of tea. And I cannot confirm this anymore because my grandma is now passed and my Jewish grandma is now passed and my dad is not a reliable source. Here's a story that I heard. Apparently, temple, the Jewish temple and the Episcopal church that my family went to would do events together back in the 90s, 80s. I don't know. This obviously was the 90s. Come on, Madison. Apparently, my black grandma saw my Jewish grandma at this event. And she walks up to her and she's like, hey, like, how are you? Boom, bam. Did you know you have a granddaughter? My grandma is very, she had a picture of me on her. So she went in there with a plan. She knew what she was about to do. Because she had a picture, like, not in a little wallet. She had a 5x7. Okay, in that billfold, in that pocketbook. And she pulled it out and she was like, yeah, this is her. And apparently the dialogue that went on between them was, wow, like, I had no clue. Let me talk to Steve about this. Steve is the dad, my dad. And after that, we never heard anything. And so I always wondered, because looking at a baby picture of me, there was no doubt that I was that man's child, especially coming from a black woman. She couldn't have denied me. Like, I looked, and actually, when you put my sister's baby picture and my baby picture together, we look exactly alike. So there was no denying me. So I always wondered if Miss Jewish Grandma didn't like a little tidbit about me. I'm going to leave it at that. So that was that on that. And now fast forward about 20 years from that point, maybe. I met with my Jewish grandma's best friend, which is so crazy how my life unfolds. I started working at the synagogue that my Jewish grandparents attended when they were alive. So I got connected with this lady and she told me, she was like, yeah, your grandma, I just know she would have loved to have been in your life if she knew about you. I was like, well, I don't know. That's the story on the Jewish grandparents. I don't know anything about them. They were both business owners in Oklahoma City. They both owned a men's clothing store and then my Jewish grandma owned some other store. And they lived really close to where I grew up and went to school, which is crazy. And I don't think my Jewish grandma passed until 2006, 2009. And so to think I could have had this whole relationship with her and she was literally around the corner is giving that fatherhood story by Kirk Franklin. If you haven't seen it, go to YouTube, watch that little, that's a very powerful, just crazy story. It's called Fatherhood. No, is that the Kevin Hart movie? Anyway, look up the Kirk Franklin finding his father story on YouTube, and I'm sure it'll come up. And then my mom, biological mom and dad, we found them on Ancestry a few years ago. And what's crazy is my whole life I'd kind of been being a genealogist because I wanted to know. Because here's the thing, how do you know if you're not dating a cousin or a brother if you have an adoptive family member? You get what I'm saying? Thank God they're out of Ohio and I've been here most of my life, because who would have known? But you know, I've always been curious, and you know, you want to know if there's something that runs in the family, whoop de boom bam, this, that, and the third. So I did an ancestry test because she wasn't going to do it. I had literally bought her an ancestry test like 2 or 3 years prior to when I did it. So I just did it. Got up on there and I found a cousin. Now, we always knew her birth mom and dad's names. So that made it a lot easier. And for years, I had been looking up the names, and I found an obituary 1 year for her dad. And he looked a lot like her. I said, this must be him. So I get on Ancestry. I see a cousin. Found her on Facebook. Messaged her. And she messaged me back pretty quickly. And she was like, oh my gosh. We've been looking for your mom our whole life. Oh my gosh, this is so crazy. What's even funnier is, because it was me messaging her, she was like, so wait, is your dad white? She was so confused. Because that whole side is black. I see why they could have been like, are you a friend of the family? Like, what's going on here? But we ended up exchanging information. And then I ended up finding my grandma, my mom's mom, on the cousin's Facebook. And I said, spitting image. Spitting image. If I would have seen her on the street, I would have known that was her mom without even knowing. Like, if I would have just chanced. Ran into her, I've been like, wow, spitting image of each other. And so my mom and I now know who her birth family is, and we have a relationship with them. And it's been very just crazy. So I have all this family, but in the same tone, I don't, or I didn't. The Jewish side, I got Tali. I got a couple cousins I've been in communication with, which has been fun. My mom's side, like, we just started getting to know them. And then my grandparents' side, tons and tons and tons of family all over. But here in Oklahoma, it's really just been me and my grandparents and my mom my whole life, with the exception of a few cousins that live in the vicinity, but we don't see each other like that. So all of like my family that I experienced growing up are like my mom's best friends that I call aunts, and then cousins and stuff of that sort. That is a little bit of my family background. I say a little bit. I feel like I talked for a while. But that's that. My dad was born here in Oklahoma. Don't know where he is now. Maybe he's here. I don't know. He's living his, hopefully, best life. So Bluish Podcast is, I want to reframe a little bit what this podcast is going to be about, what the basis of it is, because it's all over the place. It's kind of supposed to be, because I want this to be all encompassing. The best way that I can describe it for you is, this is a podcast about having different perspectives because of being biracial. Because I've been having this biracial experience throughout my life, it's introduced me to all these different avenues and perspectives and ways of thinking and just like traumas and lessons. And so because of the biracial experience and being Bluish, I can expound on all of these topics and talk about all these things and be inquisitive about things in life, because I've always had to be extra inquisitive and play these two roles. That's what the podcast is all about. The biracial experience opening the doors to all these different ways of life and being open-minded. The name Bluish is really just there because it's about me. It's what opened the door for this. But I want this podcast to be super about everything. I want to talk about one of my favorite IG accounts right now, because I feel like she is posting some great information on Instagram. And I feel like you guys should look into it and let me know your thoughts, or just be inquisitive. So Dr. Stacy, is a naturopathic doctor. So naturopathic doctors, they specialize in natural health, holistic health, things of that sort. To me, they care more about the overarching reason of why you're experiencing the health issues that you are experiencing. Her Instagram is at dr.stacy.nd. And she posts a lot about hormones. And I think that's why I really like her, because the way that we have been designed to live our lives is so far from our body's natural rhythm. Our hormones across the board are getting out of whack. And instead of us trying to find the root cause and give ourselves that sustenance we need to thrive, we're just putting band-aids over things. We're drinking too much caffeine. We're not slowing down to eat. We're not even getting sunlight. It's affecting our hormones. It's affecting the way that we maneuver through life. She's a really good resource if you want to just start small and start getting little tidbits of information. Because here's the thing about switching your mind frame when it comes to health in the world, because we've been so programmed to believe certain things. You're going to have to start with small tidbits, and it can't be overwhelming. And this is a good place to go if you don't want to be too overwhelmed with the message. The messaging is simple and easy to swallow. Here's an example in one of her posts. It says, a supplement for every symptom is the same as a pill for every ill. So she's saying, yes, even though you're going the holistic route, you're taking 20 supplements a day is the same as taking 20 pills. What's the root cause? Because here's the thing about supplements. If you don't open your detox pathways, if you're not sweating, if you're not having regular healthy gut function, it doesn't matter what supplements you take. Like, it's not going to get absorbed the way your body needs to absorb it. Here's another one. Society wants you to be confused and distracted. Hello. It's a very simple message, but I think that'd be going over some of y'all's head. I'm not going to lie. Let's see. This environment of overinformation is a call to tune in. Consider who you are, letting influence your life, create space, and drown out the noise so that you can hear your intuition more clearly. Now, this is one that really hits home for me. It says, while it may seem like your symptoms started overnight, know that your body compensated long before it started to show you signs of something being off. I want some of y'all to really get in tune with your body today and think about if it's trying to tell you something, because I'll tell you this, if you keep ignoring it, it will get worse. And you don't want it to get to the point of no return, or the point of where, well, it can always return, but like things can get so bad that it can be really, really difficult to get your body back to normal. So here's the thing, the body will heal itself. But you have to put it in the environment and give it the environment it needs to heal itself. And it can be really challenging, but it's possible. Before I get into that too deeply, dr.stacy.nd on Instagram. Give her a look. Find some messaging that you like. Just learn a little bit about that. Speaking of Instagram, for some reason, my algorithm has been showing me oysters. People shucking oysters. The oysters are stuck to the rocks and they're going on the rock and just shucking the oysters off. Maybe we need to go and be like Moana in them and be voyaging. It only makes sense, because although they didn't break it down for us in Moana, they probably were voyaging so much to gather natural resources. Just a thought. I've actually been enjoying it. Watching the marine life, oyster shucking stuff. They've also been showing me deep sea divers going and getting octopi, I guess you want to call it. I hope you followed Bluish Pod on Instagram. I'm going to be posting more content on there. Hopefully I'm going to get the video up this week. I really didn't like the background of last week's video. So I will, if this video is good, I will post the video on YouTube this week under the same name, Bluish Pod. I want to unpack the journaling thing a little bit deeper, because I do understand that sometimes, like, I can say things and assume that y'all know what I'm talking about. So here's the thing about journaling. Journaling seems very unhelpful. This is my experience. Journaling can seem very unhelpful when you first start doing it. Sometimes you don't want to do it. But what I've learned from journaling is your subconscious mind comes out more when you journal and you start writing. And you tune in on something. When you put things down and you're spelling things out on paper, you are literally envisioning it and bringing it to life and conceptualizing it. It's really important, I think, to journal about things so your mind can process things a little bit better. So if you're writing about, why am I lying to myself? What am I lying to myself about? Sometimes it takes you putting it on paper for you to really get it, like, hey, yep, I've been tweaking out. Yep. And when you journal, you can go back in the next season and be like, wow, look what I overcame. Look what I became conscious about. Look where I was at then. Look where I'm at now. Because here's the thing. I've journaled about a lot of things and I'll go back and look and be like, so you was on this last year and now you still on this year? Let's tighten up. You get what I'm saying? So that is the beauty of journaling. You don't have to get no fancy journal. You don't even have to know what you're going to write. One of the best pieces of advice that I got in college was, if you don't know what to write, just start typing anything. Literally, just be on your computer like, I don't know what to write. Today I had chicken for lunch and tomorrow I think I'm going to go to the park. And you know what? Now my thought is coming to me and this is what I want to write about. And wow, this is so helpful. Oh my gosh, now it's flowing. Here's the thing, you have to get over doing cringy, weird stuff in life. You have to get over that ego. Just do the weird stuff because I promise you it's gonna help you out. That's been super helpful for me in writing and it's been helpful for other people in writing. If you feel stuck when it comes to journaling, just start lollygagging with your writing, okay? Wow, doesn't make any sense. That's fine. Who's gonna read it? Doesn't have to be fully coherent right now. We're learning how to journal. The journal prompt for this week should be, since we're nearing the end of October, let's reflect on October. Let's write about what worked for us this month, what didn't work for us, where did I fall short, where did my discipline not trump my motivation? So listen, you don't have to be motivated to do it. You just got to do it. So reflect on the month. That's going to be the journal prompt. It don't have to be pages and pages long. Okay, you do not have to become a New York Times bestseller overnight. Be more friendly in November. There's lots of Grinches out there, okay? A lot of y'all claim the gospel, but y'all do not move like Jesus would move at all. Just if you're gonna practice something and you're going to praise somebody and glorify this beautiful name, why would you not move like this person? Why are we not moving like Jesus would move? I think that is the biggest lesson from the Bible, is to move as Jesus would move. The first two commandments, love God, love others. And it's such a simple concept, but for some reason it's taboo to move like Jesus. And I'm gonna let y'all unpack that. Maybe you should journal about that too. Why is it taboo to be that loving, to be that giving, to be that forgiving? Why is that taboo for you? I forgive in an instant because we are all human. We are all having a human experience. And for us to be putting all this pressure on everybody to be perfect and to just be on this low vibrational wavelength is what everybody's giving to each other. You gotta forgive people because they truly don't know any better. And even if you think they do know better, it doesn't matter because we're all having a human experience and we're learning in our own pace. And I just finished reading this book. Oh my gosh, so good. It's called Just for the Summer by Abby Jimenez. One of the statements that they said throughout the book that really hit me was, if you have a choice between anger or empathy, I think this is it. I'm sorry if I'm wrong. If you have a choice between anger or empathy, being angry or having empathy, always choose to have empathy. That's all it takes because everybody is on their own journey. Hello. And even if it doesn't make sense to us how somebody's moving, or we think our way of thinking about it is more righteous or whatever, we got to give it to God and let people do what they feel like they need to do in their life. And it might hurt really bad sometimes. You might be angry. You know, you still got to feel all those emotions. I'm not saying you don't feel those emotions. I'm just saying, let's work on having a little bit more empathy. You'll get there. You will get there. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be sad about a situation, but it's also okay to see the human in them and try to find some forgiveness there through that, because we're all here to learn. There's my little tea about that in journaling. November 1st will be here next week, and I'm really, really, really excited. I've already been listening to Christmas music, so we'll definitely have a song of the week next week, but I'm not going to give you one this week. Super excited that you guys are still here with me. Let's work on planting our new seeds during this time. Let's work on nourishing them. Let's work on being more like Jesus. Let's work on being more of who our souls truly, truly, truly desire to be. Okay, I love you guys so much, and I will see you next week.